We're also joined by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning.
Minority Leader, we know how Republicans made some modest gains this year in the General Assembly, but for the first time in more than 40 years, the GOP has been shut out of Rhode Island's entire slate of state and federal offices. Certainly, you try and fight the good fight in the House of Representatives, but will we ever see the Rhode Island Republican Party muster itself as an effective opposition party?
I don't see why you won't see. I mean, it depends on swings back and forth. The biggest problem I've always said to our local candidates in Rhode Island simply is this. The default position in Rhode Island is to vote Democrat. They will elect Republicans if they know you. And you can see that borne out when good Republican candidates in Republican-friendly districts run good campaigns, they tend to win. But incumbents are difficult to defeat, no matter who they are. So you have to have the right set of circumstances. We need to keep the people we have. We've got to build on it.
Why did Republican candidates do so much better back in the 1980s when Republicans actually held some of the state general offices?
There's been a realignment nationally. I mean, back then, nationally and locally, you had liberal Republicans, you had conservative Democrats. In Rhode Island, you still have conservative Democrats. You don't really have too many liberal Republicans anymore. And I think you haven't seen the realignment at the state level with the Democratic Party, partially because that's where all the power is.
Let's go to Scott.
Do you think the National Republican Party, which has pretty much been hijacked by the Sun Belt and the states of the old Confederacy, is that a drag on trying to build the party in New England?
I wouldn't say it's fair to say it's been hijacked by the states of the old Confederacy, as you like to put it. It's dominated by the South and West. There's been a realignment nationally. But as somebody pointed out, the Democratic lead in Congress, even though they still lead in northern states, is pretty slim these days because Republicans have gained a lot of gains in the Midwest as well. To your question, is it a drag? The perception that you just articulated, which I don't agree with the perception, but the perception is an accurate perception. That's what people think in Rhode Island. So yes, it is a drag, not a fair drag, but I got to face reality. It is.
What are your legislative priorities for 2015? And when you talk about how you believe some little things could make a big difference, what are you talking about?
Well, the biggest issue we face in the legislature every single year is what do we do with the state budget, especially in the House, because the House controls the budget. That's the reality of it. You need 2/3 of the vote. You've got, for the first time in my tenure, a Speaker of the House who, at least publicly and privately, has expressed a willingness and seems to genuinely want to try to work with Republicans, and we genuinely want to try to work with him. So I think you'll see, if we've had a successful year from a Republican point of view, you'll see a state budget that has some of our ideas in it that maybe we can get behind. Time will tell, but that's what you really need to look at.
When you go around the state, you hear an awful lot of criticism of this nettlesome car tax. Is there any way to alleviate that for Rhode Islanders who are pretty upset about it?
I hate the car tax. I still own a now 16-year-old Honda Accord, and I'm still paying taxes on it. The amount of money isn't the issue. The fact I'm paying taxes on it is outrageous. As you know, it was phased out, 2002, something like that. And then in 2010, it was reinstituted. I would love to get rid of the car tax. The only way to do it is to go back to what they were trying to do, take some state funding, and try to phase it out. And I would fully support something like that. The question is, where do you get the money from? Well, you know where I would think get the money from. Will the Democrats have the stomach to do it? Time will tell. But yeah, absolutely, we should get rid of it. That's a drag. That hurts everybody. It particularly hurts. It's a regressive tax. All property taxes are regressive. And it hurts the poor more than anybody else.
Republicans had been hopeful this past November that Alan Fung would defeat Gina Raimondo to win the race for governor. What went wrong from your perspective?
Well, the divisive primary didn't help. At the end of the day, Bob Healey being in the race certainly cost Alan Fung the race. I think if you talk to the people who, and I wasn't one of them, but I talked to a lot of insiders, to a certain point, Healey was taking votes away from Gina Raimondo. Above a certain level, he was taking away from Alan Fung. I think the fact he was on the ballot was absurd. The fact he was allowed to step in at the last minute was absurd. Had the gentleman who, I don't even remember who it was, put his name in originally as a moderate party candidate, he would have pulled 3% of the vote, and Alan Fung would be governor today. But that's the way the election rules worked.
We're talking here with House Minority Leader Brian Newberry. Now back to Scott.
I'm wondering, you look around the state, and this is an old issue, but it's politically damaging, is consolidation. Is Rhode Island ever going to find a way? We've got over 100 water systems, 151 pension systems, more than 70 fire departments. Is there any way to address this without ending up like Nick Gorham and losing your seat?
Well, I think if you suggest combining your towns, you're going to have that issue. I mean, certainly I would face that. If anyone tried to suggest North Smithfield and Woonsocket should be combined, it would be a huge catastrophe.
Of course. But
you know what? There is. The funny thing about that is when you talk to people at the local level, it's not simple to just say consolidate for a whole bunch of reasons. It doesn't mean it shouldn't be done. It's all in how you do it. It doesn't necessarily have the savings built into people think. Certainly, for example, I look at the town of Burrillville, which I represent, but I don't live in. So I don't have as quite the personal knowledge of it.
They've got 5 fire departments.
Exactly. Well, I think down to 4 now. But yeah, they have 4 fire departments. And despite the historical reasons why that exists, that doesn't make any economic sense at all.
It doesn't.
On the other hand, when you try to combine them, will you save money? Yes, but you got to do it in the right kind of way. And you got to start with that. So maybe Burrillville should combine its fire departments. Maybe Lincoln. I mean, Cumberland just did the same thing.
Yes.
And now they're fighting about what the budget's going to be and so on. Absolutely, you can have consolidation, but you can also have cooperation without that. I know in Northwest Rhode Island, at least a few years back, the four town councils of Gloucester, Burrville, and North Smithfield and Smithfield were combining on purchasing. That was a way to save money. It's a slow, incremental process, and it's actually going on, not as fast as it should be, and it's not an easy question to answer in a soundbite.
Governor-elect Raimondo says she hopes the state will be able to reduce human service spending while spending the money more effectively. Do you think that's realistic?
That's what Democrats always say, because they don't have to make any cuts. Let's face it, when you cut social services spending, you're going to hurt people. There's no doubt about it. I don't relish that idea, but you got to deal with the reality. It's like the people on you know, the Republicans and Democrats who waste, fraud, and abuse. Yeah, sure, there's waste, fraud, and abuse, but that's not where the bulk of the money goes. The analogy I gave on another program recently, it's like the pension reform. When the pension reform was being pushed through in 2011, I had a lot of angry people, justifiably angry people, point out and say, what about these six-figure pension people? Let's cut them. Yeah, that's true, and yes, it stands out. That's not where the money is. The money went to the people getting $30,000 a year. There's so many of them. Same thing with social services spending.
I'm wondering, as you look at CVS, just started a high-tech center in Boston. Now, they're an iconic Rhode Island company. They employ 5,500 people here. And this certainly, in an existential sense, the fact that they're taking their biggest high-tech satellite and putting it up in Boston, you know, there's a lot of hand-wringing about that. And I'm wondering, what can the state do to build that kind of a workforce here in Rhode Island so companies don't have to go to Boston?
I think the most disturbing thing about that was it took people here by surprise. That was the first problem. I mean, if people here had known about it and made some attempt to do it, but it just sort of appeared in the press they're doing it in Boston. You know, the big issue is you talk about the economy. A lot of people compare Rhode Island to Massachusetts, but it's really not a fair comparison. Even in Massachusetts, you've got the Boston area.
Yes.
Then you've got all the satellite. Providence is much more like Fall River or New Bedford, Worcester, or Springfield. They have the same problems Providence does, but they're not their own separate state. We need to make sure that Rhode Island is attractive to young workers. For example, one idea that I know it's floating around out there, I think you'll see one of my, I know Representative Riley is talking about doing this. They had a big debate in the Massachusetts legislature last year about non-compete agreements with tech companies. The big established companies want them and need them. The upstarts don't want them. Well, Rhode Island, we don't have any big upstarts, big companies. We just have potential upstarts. So why don't we pass a law that says you can't have those kinds of clauses and maybe attract some of these people down from MIT, even if they commute down here, to start their companies here. Things like that. We need to look at ideas like
kind of a fidelity solution.
Yeah. In fact, if my understanding about fidelity was we eliminated some tax law that wasn't collecting any money because nobody paid it anyway.
The passive investment tax.
Republicans like you have been in the lead in opposing the paying back of investors in 38 studios. Do you think that's a dead issue now?
I wouldn't say it's completely dead, but at this point, I said this during the debate, although I oppose paying it, I don't think we should have paid it. At some point, you've already paid enough of it back, it becomes foolish not to finish out the thread, because there was always risk with not paying it. But as the risk gets bigger and the amount of money you're wasting on it at this point gets smaller, it becomes less and less of an issue.
Wouldn't refusing to pay that bet make that lawsuit moot, the recovery suit?
Arguably, that's a legal question. I don't like to give snap legal opinions on the radio.
You are a lawyer, though.
No, I know, but I don't want to give a snap opinion. There's certainly an issue with that because you still have some damages. In other words, the money that's been paid already would still go be recoverable, but the threat of having to pay whatever's left on the bond. So certainly that's an issue.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Thank you.
And Rhode Island House Minority Leader Brian Newberry of North Smithfield.
Thank you.